From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's all unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the privilege that we have to come into Thy presence through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We praise Thee, Lord, for the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. And Lord, we rejoice that we can come right into the very throne room of heaven itself through that name that is above every name, the name of Christ. We praise Thee, Lord, that at one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we come to Thy throne tonight. We praise Thee for Thy goodness to us. We praise Thee for Thy hand upon us. And we praise Thee most of all for the work that was accomplished on the cross at Calvary. We praise Thee, Lord, for the Son of God who gave Himself a ransom for many. We praise Thee, Lord, for the blood that was shed. We praise Thee for the virtue and the value of that blood. We praise Thee, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And we praise Thee, Lord, for those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. We praise Thee for the joy of sins forgiven. We praise Thee, Lord, for the Spirit of God, our Comforter and our Guide. And Lord, we rejoice that as we come into Thy presence, we praise Thee, Lord, we have an audience with the King. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless us as we come to worship Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou will draw near. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would move upon every heart. And we pray that the Spirit of God would do that perfect work in each heart, convicting of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw each one close to thyself. And Lord, for those who have never trusted thee, those who are strangers to God and strangers to his marvelous grace, we pray, Lord, that even as thy word goes forth today, that thy word may have a resting place within their hearts, and they may trust Christ as Saviour and Lord. Bless especially in the reading of thy word and in the preaching of thy word. May the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be honoured and glorified. May he alone have the preeminence. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. We're turning for our scripture reading to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 44. John's Gospel, chapter 12, reading from verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Amen, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. We're going to stand to sing, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?"
Are you one? Well, you have before you the scriptures of truth. We're going to look at the words of verses number 47 of John chapter 12. And really the end of that verse where it says, "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." The Bible is the book of books. And yet sadly today we live in a land, a nation, where there is great ignorance of the Bible. People may have heard of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But often there is not much beyond that in the way of Bible knowledge. Yet there is a text that Christians, and especially those Christians with conservative convictions, they hear it all the time. Now the people quoting it may or may not know that it comes from the Bible, but quote it they will. The text, of course, is Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. "Judge not, that ye be not judged." That text is often used to lambast anyone who holds an opinion regarding sin, heaven, and God. And you'll be told, you cannot judge. You cannot have opinions. That's not allowed according to the Word of God, so they say. Now, whatever that text means, it does not mean that you cannot hold or form opinions based upon the Word of God. But the more biblically literate will then back up their view by saying that Jesus didn't judge, and therefore we should not judge. And they will turn to this text in John chapter 12, and they'll read those words to you, "For I came not to judge the world." What they will not remember is that just a few chapters earlier, the Lord said in John 9, verse 39, "For judgment, I am come into this world." So in John 9:39 it says, "For judgment I am come into this world." And then here in John 12, in the verse number 47, "For I came not to judge the world." Are you confused? Do you suddenly see the Bible to be full of contradictions? Well, no, of course not. As we seek to let the Bible speak, we do so with the conviction that this book is God's word. It is truth and it is without contradiction. But what these texts show us is that it is important to know what words mean. It's important to know what words mean in their context. The Bible speaks plainly, but it must be rightly interpreted to give the meaning that Christ had when he brings these words to our attention. And thus I want to look at this issue of the relationship of the Lord with judgment as we find it to us here, I find it revealed to us here in John chapter 12. Now the first thing we should note is that there is a reality to judgment. Judgment is a reality. Now that may strike you as an unusual first point when you come to this message. For surely the text says, "I came not to judge the world." So then how can you say there's a reality to judgment? Well, the text itself tells us that judgment and salvation are looked upon as opposites. "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." They're opposite terms. The same words are used in John chapter 3, although the word judgment is this time translated with the word condemn. And in John 3, verse 17, just after John 3:16, the Lord says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, if the Lord, as these texts tell us, came into the world to save and not to judge or condemn, there is a very clear and a very simple implication. And that is that the world stood in need of being saved. And the world stood in need of being saved from judgment itself, from sin, and from the sin that leads to judgment. Hence the Lord is saying in these words that the world in Jesus' day, and even the world in our day, actually deserves judgment. You see, the world is under judgment. Paul, dealing with the law in Romans chapter 3, makes it clear that the world is guilty before God. The world is under judgment, but that judgment is being withheld. The Bible speaks of a day of wrath that is yet to come. Thus, when Jesus says here in John 12, "I came not to judge," he is stating that his purpose for coming into this world was not to usher in final judgment. Let's be very, very clear. He is not suggesting that judgment will not take place. He is not suggesting that he came to, if you like, do away with that final judgment. He is saying that he came into the world not to usher in that final judgment. He is telling his hearers, and I am telling you in this building today, that this is the day of grace and the day of salvation. The judgment that is to come is still yet to come. But men and women, this world still lies under the condemnation of God due to sin. You think back to the days of Noah, many, many centuries ago. But back in those days, God brought a word of warning through the preacher of righteousness, Noah himself. And in those words of warning, the Lord says in Genesis 6 and verse number 7, I will destroy man. There was a prediction of a coming judgment. And that prediction goes back actually many hundreds of years earlier with the birth of a man named Methuselah. Methuselah's name, he's given for us in Genesis 5 and verse number 21. His name means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. Noah was born when Methuselah was 369 years old. He died aged 969. Noah was 600 when the flood came. The mathematics are very, very simple. Methuselah was a living warning of God's coming judgment. That warning reinforced with the words through Noah, the preacher of righteousness. In Noah's day, the world was under judgment, but that judgment was being withheld. God's patience was allowing sinners to repent and turn from their sin. And that's a very clear and a very living presentation of what the world is under in this present day and generation. Peter uses Noah as that illustration. He talks about the world that then was, Noah's world, overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, we are living today with the prospect of coming judgment. Christ Jesus, in his first coming, did not come in to usher in that judgment. He came to deliver us from judgment. But do not be deceived. We are living in days when the wrath of God abides upon the ungodly. Dear unsaved viewer, unsaved listener, do not presume upon God's patience. As an individual or his patience with this world, remember the word of God where God says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You'll have heard accounts of great disasters in bygone days, when dams burst and entire valleys were wiped out under the rushing waters that came down through the valley. And you can see, even in our day and generation, there are little trickles of water coming from the dam of God's wrath, as we see his wrath revealed in this world, in this present world. But the judgment is yet to come in its fullness and in its severity. And thus we see in this text, in the words that are used about judgment and salvation, that there is a reality. And that is judgment that is yet to come. But there is, in the second place, within these words, there is the rescue that comes from judgment. The Bible says that the Lord, in his own words, came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world as the second person of the Godhead, taking to himself a true human nature, and he came with a very clear purpose. To save men and women from every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and unite them together in the gospel. All nations, in the view of God's mercy, when Christ Jesus came into the world to save the world. Are you saved here? Sitting in these pews, are you a saved soul? People don't like the term very much today. It's too religious, it's too fundamental, it's not a popular term, but are you saved? What does saved mean? Does it mean to be good living? To be a good churchgoer? To be religious? Well, here in this text, we see the answer is very, very clearly revealed. To be saved is to be rescued from judgment. Is to be delivered from the coming wrath of God for sin. To be saved is to be rescued from sin's penalty as it comes upon us in the form of God's wrath. Is that not what the word saved means? In its most basic meaning, does it not mean to rescue or to deliver? So if Christ came to save the world, well, what's he come to save the world from? It is, of course, the consequence of sin. Judgment comes upon us due to our sin. The judgment of God is righteous. It is not capricious, and there are no miscarriages of justice with God. We are judged and under the judgment of God because we have broken the law of God. And to be saved from sin is to be saved from the condemnation of that law. Well, just as the ark in Noah's day was held with so little appreciation, so the gospel in our day is not appreciated by and large by many at all. We live in a day when the gospel is scoffed at and laughed at. But it is that gospel that promises us deliverance from sin. You see, we see this traced out in Galatians by the apostle himself. He tells us about the coming of Jesus. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Remember John 12? He came into the world to save the world. Well, here Paul says that Christ came as one sent from God. God sent forth his Son. But the purpose is very, very clear. To redeem them that were under the law. But what is it to be under the law? Well, that's given for us in Galatians chapter 3. That everyone is cursed who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Not one of us have loved God as we ought. Not one of us can say with judgment day honesty that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not one of us. Not one of us can say we've loved God, our neighbor as ourselves. We have not kept God's law, and as such we have not continued in all things written in the book of the law to do them. And thus we are under the guilt and condemnation of God's blessed law. But Christ Jesus came into the world to redeem them that were under the law. And he does this for us in the words of Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It's pointing our eyes to Calvary. It's taking our mind to the cross. And on that cross, there was that glorious transaction. As our sins were placed upon our Savior, and the wrath of God was poured out upon his own dear Son, as he was made a curse for us, as truly and as really as if he had committed the sins himself, he was made a curse for us. He was judged that we might be saved. Do you see how the words tie together? He came not to judge but to save, but he saved by taking the judgment that we deserved. As the hymn writer says, in my place, condemned, judged he stood. Hallelujah! What a Savior. This is our blessed God and Savior. He came, yes, not to judge the world, but to save the world. Which leads, in the last place, for us to consider the reckoning in judgment. You see, that's given for us in the words of verse number 48, where the Lord says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The Lord is telling us here that the words that he has spoken in this world will be used in our reckoning when it comes to judgment day. Christ Jesus came into the world for many purposes. But we have one other purpose in the verse number 46. I am come a light into the world. He came to reveal truth. With much confusion of what truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He is the one that reveals truth to us. Regarding sin and salvation and God, Christ is the one who shows us truth. And what he's saying in these words, when you reject the words of truth that Christ reveals, you are judged according to that rejection. There's a reckoning in judgment. God will hold us account for what we've done according to the truth of his blessed word. And that's the sense of the words back in John chapter 9 and verse 39. For when the Lord says, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. What's the Lord saying there? He came to expose the self-righteous. He came to expose those who think they see, and he shows them to be blind. And those who cannot see, he causes them to see. He brings judgment upon the self-righteous. He brings judgment upon those who think they're okay with God and who are accepted with God. The Lord's words of truth, they will judge us in that final day. What have you done with the truth that you've been revealed? What have you done with the truth that has been revealed to you in the Word of God? Christ's words, they expose our sin. He shows us to be unrighteous. He shows us to be far short of God's glory. He shows us that salvation is in Himself. There's no other way unto God but through His own blessed person. His words show us this. He points us in the way of salvation through Christ Himself. And there is no other way. Have you received these words? The Lord did not come to usher in final judgment in His first coming. Oh yes, He came not to judge the world when He first came. But there is the warning in the Word of God that God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world through that man that He's appointed, that is Christ Himself. And in His second coming, He will come to judge the world. You see, what clinches this interpretation for us? Well, it is the words of verse number 48, where it says, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." There is a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of judgment that is coming upon the world. Do not trifle with sin. This message is so gloriously wonderful. He came to save us from our sins. But we must, in the language of John chapter 3, we must believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, turning from our sins, receiving Him and trusting Him alone for salvation. Let's bow together in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing upon His word. Eternal God, our Father in heaven, we thank You for the coming of Christ into the world, not to bring judgment, but to bring salvation. And yet we pray, O Lord, that all who hear this word would prepare themselves for that coming day, and that finding rescue in Christ, they would indeed be gloriously saved. We pray in the Savior's blessed name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.